This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. This Rockets team, obviously, they're headed into their offseason strong with some big decisions to make. One of those a little bit easier, mind you, because Fred VanVleet, the decision that it felt like they were going to have to make by the end of this week on whether or not they were going to pick up the option, the team option, for the final year of his contract to decide if they wanted to pay that $44.5 million or make him a free agency, and I imagine then decide on some level of renegotiated contract for, you know, beyond that. That's been pushed back. And you have the date on that?
No, let me.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I have a thought on that. I think they pushed it back to June 6th or something like that. But anyway, first week of June.
I thought it was the end of June.
I thought it was maybe, well, but of course,
not the 26th.
They pushed it back to June. But am I crazy? Well, yes. But
June 29th. That's right.
June 29th.
There we go. I want to make sure I had the right date.
Is it possible? Let me put it that way. They pushed this back. They said they want to make sure they get it all, you know, lined up and good to go, and give themselves time to negotiate and all that stuff. The NBA draft lottery is this weekend, right?
It'll be Monday. Monday is when we'll know. Monday. Yes.
You think that's playing a part in this?
I'm sure that plays a part in the,
because they would have had, just, I'm sorry, but just so they, yeah, they would have had to sign it by Friday, right?
Well, make the decision.
Make the decision.
I don't know that they would have to sign.
Well, yeah, but make the decision by Friday.
Yes.
Yeah. But the lottery is Monday.
Correct.
Do you think that's maybe a factor in pushing it back?
I mean, probably, and I don't think it's just that. I think it's so that they can get an idea on where they're going with the offseason, give them a little time to see if anything, any offers or any conversations clear that very high bar that they've talked about that would, you know, have them, I guess, switch the direction that they go with the you know, personnel on this team. And yeah, I think that that's just to give them more optionality on how they build this team, especially as they want to make sure that they stay within the monetary confines that the NBA has contractually. The CBA is very very technical, and I'm not trying to get into that. I think you need, basically, you need a JD. You need to be a lawyer in order to even understand it in a real way. But, yeah, man, I get that they're – I think that that's what they're doing. They push it back and with the agreeable situation between them and the player, in this instance, Fred VanVleet, Fred VanVleet, they'll talk about it later. And I think that's actually probably very – I think that's – very positive.
It's prudent.
Because I think, well, yes, it's prudent, but I think that's positive because Fred VanVleet would have to agree to that. Mm-hmm. And I think that you only agree to, you know, doing that much later in this process if you feel like there's a high likelihood, if not an entirely the only place that you will land is returning back to Houston. You know what I mean? So I think that I enjoy that. And I know not everybody's going to be excited about the return of Fred VanVleet, but I've been sold on, like, the things that he brings to this team, even still as his team continues to mature. But speaking of maturing, one of those guys that did not mature enough to, like, factor into that postseason, and we didn't get as much of him on the court as we anticipated. Hell, he was he was the opening favorite for Rookie of the Year, is Reed Sheppard. And last week, Tim McMahon kind of wrote a piece about all these decisions that the Rockets are going to have to make, especially at the top end of the roster, like who is that go-to guy of sorts and how they're looking for that superstar. And one of the things that was in it was about Reed Sheppard, right? The small guard, 6'2", 185 is what he is, you know, what he is kind of sitting at. And one of the things, quotes that came out of this from Rafael Stone, the general manager of the team, was, "I think Reed's just a really, really talented player. Very few people shoot as well as him. Very few people pass as well as him. And more even than passing, see the offense so clearly and so easily. That's not really a skill that is taught. Not at the level he can do it. We think he has a chance to be really special," close quote. And that, to me, sounds, and tell me if I'm getting too far ahead of myself, like they view him as potentially like the most special offensive guy on this roster. And do you believe that to be the case here when it comes to Reed and this offense?
I think it's, he said a mouthful. First of all, he said he put a lot of pressure on himself and Reed Sheppard. And I don't mind it. You know, I don't mind it at all. I think he really believes in what Reed Shepard is. I think it needs to be qualified a little bit.
Okay, please qualify.
Because I think he's the most offensively skilled player that they have at that position. Because it shouldn't be. Reed Shepard should not be the most offensively talented player on this squad.
You know,
he really shouldn't. It should be Jalen Green. It should be any number of other players developing, on this roster. But I also think it speaks to that they even more so need another offensive threat. That's where I went with that. Like, okay, I'm a fan of Reed Shepard. I remember before the postseason, I was kind of advocating to get him more minutes. You know, what did I say, like 14 to 18 something like that?
I recall.
Yeah, just get him some more minutes. And, I'm a big fan of what he can do offensively, but it shouldn't be. You know, he might be the most skilled shooting, as he pointed out, you know, seeing the offense, understanding where the ball needs to go.
Which is really important.
But you really shouldn't. It's kind of an offshoot of the Jeremy Peña thing. Jeremy Peña is the best player on the Astros, but you kind of hope that he's not, you know, because you want Yordan and Altuve and all that. He is skilled, but I wouldn't hope that that's the go-to.
I mean, the comparison that they've made, and obviously this is like the comp as in where he could reach and how or what it would look like when he reaches his peak, I imagine, Steve Nash.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's high praise, and I could see some of it, right? They wanted him on the ball, and I remember vividly that feeling watching Summer League with Reed going, and I go, mm-hmm. I did not realize he was this good.
He could do all that, yeah.
On ball, and we know the ways that he can shoot, and he's shown instances of getting his own shot. Mm-hmm. You saw it when he went to the G League, and immediately, what was it, 45 of them things?
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a game against the Warriors early in the season where he came out, and he actually got run to start, and it looked fantastic mm-hmm. for him. Like, I could see where they're coming from. What does that mean for this team, though, if he does like reach that point, but if he is indeed the most talented offensive player that you have when it all comes to pass?
It would have to be perfect world stuff. It would have to be Steve Nash type stuff.
If he is Steve Nash, and that is your best offensive look, what does that mean for this team?
Oh, I think it's incredible. I think all of a sudden you have a guy that can take a shot at the end with confidence and lead the offense at the end with confidence, and we know that's what this team has lacked. No, I think it'd be incredible. I still am in the place where he would be, he would have to be a complimentary big time scorer on a contending team. Yeah.
Yeah. That's ultimately still one of the things mm-hmm. that I was thinking on. And what's been kind of making me ponder this is watching the NBA playoffs right now. When you look at Jalen Brunson
mm-hmm.
and the ways in which he is the best player on those New York Knicks, to the point where there's a little bit of fear with him on the floor, knowing that he has the ability to get to any shot that he needs to. And, you know, I did not see that for him when he first came in the league. And similarly, I'm not sure that I was like, yo, Steve Nash for Reed
mm-hmm.
Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, what does it look like if he gets up there? And can you have a guard of his size be one of, if not your best offensive guys when he gets to that point? That's the thing that I'm still trying to ponder. But I think I lean to where you do, where I love that, and I would love to see that come along, especially sooner rather than later, because having him be able to actually get in and play maybe when Fred's off the floor, even if you could find a way, which would be really cool for them to play at the same time, it's still like you, I'd want, you know,
number Alper two Shangun in a perfect world.
To be more consistent Shangun. In that, or like whether it's Jalen Green actually developing in the way that they believe,
or someone else
having the height and the level of playing, because I don't think Amen Thompson is that guy per se. I think he is a great add-in with incredible defense.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel like I would need that kind of guy. But Reed Shepard is a guy that feels like I would love to see him come along, and I would love to see some of these things that we've seen have an opportunity to flourish.
Because think about what you're asking if you're asking a 6'2 guard to be that.
Right.
You're asking not just Steve Nash, you're looking like Steph, you know, something like that. And those guys just don't come along very often. So you can't put that on him. I like the fact that they have that confidence in him and all that, as I mentioned. But if you want him to be the guy, you're asking him to be like a unicorn, you know, almost. And that's asking too much.
Yeah, and I think that those are the types of things that you allow to come along. Like I mentioned with Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson started as a backup point guard and then a starting point guard with a mm-hmm. high-level player. And then
mm-hmm.
you saw more and more of those instances where in the playoffs he would take – those minutes where, you know, Luka Doncic at that point wasn't on the court, and he would make those his own in a way that was mm-hmm. special and sparkling. And then you got to a point where, oh, okay, he can do this at a high level. I think that that would happen in time. But as of right now, where the Rockets are, I just want to see him get some opportunities to be the version of the guy who's on the floor with this team in minutes and able to add in with the shooting that he brings. But yeah, I don't know that I don't see him being like the most special offensive player on a team that is actually contending in the way that you want to.
I totally agree. Totally agree.
From the 713, Cam Whitmore was underutilized and he can score the ball easily. Yes, but the scoring the ball easily isn't the problem.
He's in the doghouse.
I think that might be deeper than rap.
He's in the doghouse.
Yeah,
that might be a little deeper than rap.
When Ime said, yeah, I've told him that a lot, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
What you're alluding to is Ime was asked at that kind of exit interview type of presser, the idea of, you know, Cam Whitmore has seemingly talked about the, you know, not knowing what he has to do to get on the floor. And
he's I've told him plenty.
Like, no, we are on the same page. We had that conversation.
You could kind of tell by his Cam Whitmore's body language, too, on the bench.
Yeah.
Like, it might be a little deeper than rap. Man.
Yes.
From the 832, wow, do you need a race car with Steve Nash comparison? I didn't compare him to Steve Nash. This is per.
No, they said Lopez needs a race car. I said, that was Reggie.
Wait, hold on. That wasn't me.
Brought him up.
Oh, well, yes, that is from the ESPN article written by Tim McMahon, where, I mean, we were alluding to this. It's from like over a week ago that, you know, he's occasionally mentioned in the same breath as Steve Nash when it comes to being a small point guard who played sparingly as a rookie and came along. But I think that's still a time thing. Like, that's still going to be a time proposition. Ultimately, I'd love to see him get to that level, but
That's a big, big ass.
I don't understand that comparison at all, man.
That's a big ass.
Yeah, I don't look at Reed Shepard and be like, oh, little Steve Nash, and I don't see that.
And that's a jump that I think, and I would like to see a jump, but I don't think that jump is readily coming for these Rockets. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on the YouTube. This is entirely off. This is just like the rookies. Brandon said, can't wait to troll and shout Jalen at practice and watch them all turn around. Okay, all right. I feel that's not going to happen too long before somebody come over there and tap you on the shoulder like, hey, you might need to chill out. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including somehow, some way, there's a new Pope. Do that next.